Okay, we are recording.
All right. I'd like to call to order the monthly meeting of the Arizona Board of Athletic Training on September 13th, 2021 at 9:30 a.m. Roll call, Eric Fries here, Cheryl Ingram.
Here.
Art Peterson.
Here.
Charles Boffman.
Here.
Jennifer Fadley. Absent, Karen Whiteford.
Here.
Amber Jones.
Here.
Justin Larson. Justin, did you say here?
I did say here, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Marion. Number three, declaration of conflicts of interest. Does anybody have any? All right, hearing none, we will go on to number four, discuss and amend the approval of the minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve the regular session meeting minutes for August 2nd, 2021.
This is Chuck. I didn't see an addition of board member recognition on this agenda. Does that need to be amended?
Well, we cannot amend the agenda for today's meeting, and the reason that I didn't put it on there, and I'm sorry, Eric, that I forgot to mention that this morning, is we don't have the recognition available yet, and Ms. Fadley's not on the call.
This is Chuck. I move to approve the regular session meeting minutes of that date as amended.
I'll second. August 2nd.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the regular session meeting minutes for August 2nd, 2021. All those in favor?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
Jennifer Fadley's absent.
Hearing no opposition, the regular session meeting minutes have been approved. I'd entertain a motion to approve the executive session meeting minutes for August 2nd, 2021.
This is Chuck. I'm going to approve the executive session meeting minutes of August 2nd.
This is Bart. I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the executive session meeting minutes of August 2nd, 2021. All those in favor?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
And Jennifer Fadley's absent.
Okay. All right. Hearing no oppositions, the executive session meeting minutes have been approved. Item five, see the future agenda. Looks like next month we're at least attempting to be in person.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I made a mistake on that.
Oh. Okay.
I got my months confused.
You want that to be WebEx again?
That is up to the board. I do want to let you know that last month the nursing board had a meeting in one of the boardrooms, and one of the attendees ended up testing positive for COVID. So I still think it's a little bit of a dangerous environment.
Yeah. So let's just let's addend that right now to WebEx. If everybody else is all right with that.
Mr. Chair, I'm unavailable for that meeting on the 4th. I'll be off grid, but an issue and you really need me, then give me a phone call and I'll get to a place where I can have better cell service.
Sounds like I'd like to be where you're going to be.
Okay.
Off grid sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we'll obviously still have anticipating a quorum obviously on the 4th, so thank you for sure letting us know on that. November, December, probably going to be the exact same based upon what we've got, but let's play that by ear as we get through the October one. Number six, review discussion of possible action, complaints, hearings, investigations, and compliance. We obviously have no reviews on renewals and or initials, which is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
Number seven, consent agenda. I would entertain a motion to ratify the consent agenda as written.
This is Bart. I move to ratify the consent agenda as presented.
So Cheryl, I second.
It has been moved and seconded to ratify the consent agenda as written. All those in favor?
Eric Fries.
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Bart Peterson.
Aye.
And Chuck Buffman.
Aye.
Hearing no opposition, the consent agenda has been ratified. Number eight, review consideration and possible action on applications for licensure. Again, no board reviews on renewals or initials. Number nine, review discussion and possible action, board direction, submission of rules package to governor's office for final approval and to GIRC. Karen.
Yes. So at the last board meeting, we talked a little bit about some of the feedback that we had received from the public on the proposed rulemaking, but we had not reached the end of the public comment period. So we did receive quite a few more comments on the last day. So I consolidated all of the comments into a spreadsheet that should be in your meeting materials, along with a chart that showed the number of in favor or the number of yes in support of dry needling versus the number of no, and then the comments that did not apply.
Right.
So 69 were in favor of the rules regarding dry needling. One was opposed, and then there were three comments that were not related. Also in your board meeting materials is an article that was submitted by one of our licensees that talks about the educational preparation for dry needling for athletic trainers. So I don't know if you had an opportunity to read that or not. So the reason that I put it on the agenda as board direction is I need to have direction from the board as far as what they want me to do with the rulemaking. Are you in support of me submitting the final rulemaking package to the governor's office for approval and then to GIRC? And if not, what would you like for me to do?
Do we need to do that in vote form?
Yeah, I would be more comfortable with it that way.
Okay. So we need, in other words, we need a motion.
Yes, the motion would be to submit the final rulemaking package to the governor's office and then to GIRC upon the governor's approval.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, we've got approximately 3,800 licensees in the state, is that correct?
No.
800.
Yeah,
excuse me, I'm sorry. Approximately 800, I don't know where I got 3,800. 800 or so?
Yeah, 860.
860, and we had 74 responses.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Almost 10%, so it's about right.
Okay, well, I would certainly entertain a motion.
This is, in an effort to be able to discuss it a little bit further, I'm going to move to approve forwarding the rules package to the governor's and GIRC office so we can discuss it if need be.
Cheryl, I second.
It has been moved and seconded to follow through with the process of submitting rule package and to the governor's office and to GIRC for final approval. All those in favor?
Well, wait a minute. Now we can have discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our issue last month was the one comment, and the one comment was well thought out and well put. But it does not align, well, I it does align, but it doesn't carry enough weight. in my mind, to overrule the rules packages presented. So, but I would like to hear the other folks' thoughts.
Well, as I said in last meeting, you know, I was definitely aware of the fact that that one individual was against it. I had the same concerns. At the same time, it is quite obvious that the rest of the association, who at least those of whom who have expressed their opinions, it certainly needs to move forward, in my opinion, despite the concern that one individual had. That's where I stand on it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just curious your thoughts on the rules package and the one negative concern.
Well, all in all, the individual who's against it, I don't feel that she was totally against it. Just reading her notes, she was supportive of it, but there were two areas of concern which we attempted to address with the continuing education aspect. But I think the greatest concern, you know, that I still had was, you know, the treatment of minors unsupervised by the parents, especially in the athletic training room in, you know, high schools. You know, personally, I have no objection to dry needling, and I think it's something that has a place in, you know, in my setting, professional baseball, but also as a parent. I'm not sure that I would allow my my children to get this modality without a parent or guardian being present, which also may have some privacy concerns with other athletes that are present in the training room.
Do you have any idea about how we could move the rules package forward and change or address those issues? I have the same concerns.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this is Karen Whiteford. If the board decides to make substantial changes to this rulemaking, then it would go back to the beginning. We would have to open up the public comment period again. Let's see. I'm looking to see what we have as far as parental consent. So we do have in the rules, if patient is a minor, parent or guardian consent for treatment is obtained and documented in the patient record.
I think the verbiage is very good in that, and frankly, I would leave it up to each individual athletic trainer who wants to perform this particular modality to communicate with the parents in that type of situation. I mean, it's in there in terms of receiving consent. It would be entirely up to the parents whether they want to be present or not. But that is covering the athletic trainer appropriately.
Would adding three words for each treatment, would that be substantial, considered substantial?
I don't know. I would have to ask the editor of the rules from the Secretary of State's office.
Okay, so you would have to go to that point. Gerald, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, my thoughts from the beginning were the minors, and I've spoken to quite a few physical therapists. They do treat minors, they do not have parents usually present, but they do obviously ask for approval and consent. observations of obviously a sterile environment, which hope is the case all the time. I also agree with the privacy study that Chuck brought up. And, you know, when you're treating minors, hopefully you're taking that into consideration at all times. So I'm in support of moving this forward. And I just think, I don't know if there is a recommendation, clarification. I'm not sure how we can make sure that we're covering some of the concerns without having major changes to our initial rulemaking package. So maybe, Karen, you could help me with that.
Ms. Reifert, can we have question and answer with the, I believe there's some members of the GAC present. Can we ask a couple of questions?
That would be a question for Mr. Larson.
Mr. Larson, there are members of the GAC present. Are we able to have a question and answer?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, there's so the way that the agenda item is set up and the way that there's in the rulemaking statutes, there's kind of a process for having rule proceedings over the public comments. For now, the record is already closed for the public comment period, and thus I would recommend that the board not hear additional public comments. And to the extent you're just asking about already public comments that were already submitted in writing, I think it would have been better. We probably should have agendized the matter that way and gone through the proper steps for oral proceedings if we wanted to do that. I'm reluctant to recommend that we do that at this time, just based on the timelines of the rulemaking statutes.
So Mr. Larson, when I asked you,
I'm in favor of moving this forward. I guess, you know, addressing the privacy and minor concerns, I would encourage the Athletic Trainers Association to adopt some sort of best practices, you know, that could be publicized to their membership.
I would definitely agree. I'm also in favor of it. To the point that I would like to call the question. Which means we vote on it.
Does anybody else have any further questions on it? Or comments?
That's a question. We have to vote.
Okay.
So it was first and seconded, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
So all those in favor of moving forward with submitting this to the governor's office and to GERD?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Mark Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
Jennifer Bailey absent. Hearing no oppositions, the board is directing board staff to provide information to the governor's office and to move this forward. All right, number 10, review consideration of possible actions out of state registration fee established in the rulemaking response to passage of House Bill 2454. Telehealth registration.
Yeah, so Mr. Chair, this is related to the out-of-state registration specifically, where athletic trainers who are licensed in other states who would like to practice telehealth on patients here in Arizona would be able to register to provide that service. And like I've said before, rules need to be written for that, and we have until May of next year to get those rules submitted. But in actuality, this is something that should be offered right now. It went into effect immediately upon the governor signing it because it was an emergency. It had an emergency clause. So the one thing that we need is to establish the fee for this. And I don't know, because I'm not an athletic trainer, what the interest level might be.
So my question here is that this is for athletic trainers who are out of state, who want to be licensed or registered in the state to provide telehealth.
Yes. So let's say somebody from Texas, well, let's not use Texas, that's a bad example. Let's say somebody from Nevada is licensed in Nevada and wants to practice via telehealth on a patient here in Arizona. So the registration would allow them to do that. They could not come to Arizona and practice in person. They would have to have a license to actually practice here in Arizona. So the application process is similar to what we currently have for initial applications, except they don't have to provide transcripts, recommendations. We're eliminating those anyway with this rules package. They don't have to provide fingerprints or a fingerprint clearance card. The items that they do have to provide that a normal applicant doesn't have to provide is proof of liability insurance coverage. And, oh gosh, Justin, I'm not remembering what the term was again.
Statutory agents.
Yes, they have to provide the name of a statutory agent here in Arizona.
So they have to have a representative, a lawyer or an office or somewhere in Arizona we can mail stuff to.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's correct.
I think you're the first person that has understood that right off the bat. So, it's going to be, I think, a similar amount of work for us at the board office. We may get a lot of questions. I have our IT group working on an online application that is separate from our regular online applications. So my thought was, and I also said this to the Occupational Therapy Board, that you may consider just making it the same as the fee for an initial license application.
So are there any other boards who've already acted on it? What are they doing?
I don't know. I've been working with a few other boards. They haven't put this in yet. They're also kind of in the same spot that we are, trying to decide what the fees are and getting our website to have the application on it. I think most of them are making the fee the same or a little bit higher because it might be a little bit more work. It just depends on the interest level we have. So each application is probably not much more work, but are we going to have hundreds of people applying, or are we going to have five?
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
So this is similar to a compact, a licensure compact, but it doesn't have all of the requirements as far as, you know, when there's a disciplinary action in one state, you know, then that automatically nullifies the compact for that person. It doesn't have that in place, so I don't know.
So there's no built-in disciplinary action?
I'd have to look at it again. And it's a long bill. Let's see.
It's a sleeper, huh?
Yes, and one point that I brought up with the they don't have to provide fingerprints or a fingerprint clearance card. So if they get arrested, and we'll never know.
Right.
But at the same time, they're never going to have physical contact with our Arizona population. They would only have video contact, which in theory could be just as bad.
Might even be worse. My personal thought is we make it 10% higher.
I was actually thinking to go along with the governor's reducing the fee, think go 10% lower. So that the governor doesn't come back to us and say, hey, you're charging too much. Change your fee.
Well, I honestly don't think that will be the case. I have not heard of anyone charging lower than their regular fee. And then also we have to decide on what the fee will be to renew it or
right.
to update the registration every year.
If and it would be just like a normal licensee, it would be a yearly registration fee.
Yes. So they will have to update their registration every year, to update their demographic information, and also to report how many encounters, how many patient encounters they had, and how many patients they had for the calendar year.
I think that we need to keep the fees the same as the initial renewals, just because we still have maintenance of the licensing website and the manpower and things to process these. So.
And we are also putting together a rules package to go along with this, so if we find out additional information, we can always change it down the road. So
that's true.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the board, I know this question came up during the last month's meeting as to whether the board would have to go through the same public comment period and rulemaking procedures that we went through with the last rulemaking we discussed, but the House Bill 2454 actually exempts the healthcare regulatory boards from the rulemaking requirements in the Administrative Procedure Act. And so basically what that means, I believe, is that the board will be able to basically write these rules and submit them. I think there's a very abbreviated process where you have to submit them for publication to the Secretary of State's office. And Karen, you and I can work on that more on the back end as to the specifics there. But I don't believe the board has to go through the same public comment
right.
period or anything like that, as long as the board is doing this within a year of the effective date, which I believe was May of 2021.
Yeah, I think it has to go to the AG's office.
So do we need two motions, one for the initial and one for the renewal, or can they be both on the same motion?
It depends. The board can do that how they would like. It depends on whether you're going to be setting the fee the same for both. From a legal perspective, all I would suggest is that the board, whichever board member makes the motion, briefly explains for the record what the basis is for why we're deciding on the specific fee.
So this is Bart. I move to set the fees pertaining to. Got to get the right, the out-of-state registration fee establishment rulemaking response. The same as current fees across the board for our state licensures, including initial and re-ups. So everything being the same.
Okay, so for the recording, before you second that, Cheryl, so the initial registration would be $300, and the registration update would be $175.
Correct.
Okay.
And any other fees that we have established would be the same. So if they need a copy of a license or whatever else, everything is the same.
This is Cheryl, I second.
All right, it has been moved and seconded to enact the out-of-state registration fee and renewal fee to be the same as our in-state licensees. All those in favor?
Aaron Freese.
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram.
Aye.
Mark Peterson.
Aye.
Chuck Baughman.
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, the fees will be the same as our in-state licensees. Okay.
Can I add on to that this discussion while we're here? So now do we need to work on the actual rules for this, or how do we move forward on this process?
My preference would be to wait until the current rulemaking package is approved, so that, because of the numbering issue.
Okay.
So I need to have, you know, numbers set before I can start moving things around again. So we have until May to do that. But we can start accepting applications.
Right.
I believe so.
So what happens in the event we have a disciplinary issue? Would it fall back onto what our current rules are?
I'd have to read the bill again to see how disciplinary actions are handled.
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, my understanding is that's a little bit unclear at this moment. That's my understanding based on, you know, talking around our office and looking at the bill myself. But that, you know, I think that's something for down the road. I think right now we're just kind of determining the initial application process, just because that's what we're supposed to do under the bill.
And Mr. Chair and board members, there is some language in that bill that sets up a telehealth advisory committee. So I would imagine that committee will hash out some of these items that haven't been brought to light quite yet.
Nominate Cheryl Ingram.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, moving on to number 11, review, discussion, and possible action, board business, and reports.
Okay, number 11A, the open board member position. At the last meeting, I told you that a new board member was appointed, yet I still have not received the loyalty oath. So we can't move forward until I have that. I will contact Gabby from the Office of Boards and Commissions today to find out where that is. I should have it by now. Item 11B, possible conversion to Thentia for online licensing. I do not recall where we stood at the last meeting on this, but just in case I didn't talk about it then, the governor's office has become involved in this issue because there are so many agencies that are thinking about converting to a different platform. Also, Asset, or our IT group, is involved in the decision-making process. They are supposed to evaluate Thentia as well as a newer version of Salesforce to see what the best tool would be for us, and they're supposed to do that by September 26th.
I'm guessing the financial ramifications of such would be discussed as well?
Yes. The last meeting we had, I did tell them, you know, because of this delay, the board does not have the finances available to pay for both Salesforce and Thentia. So either we'll have to wait or somebody's got to waive some licensing fees for the transition time.
Okay.
Item 11C, Executive Director's Report. Number one, the financial report. We have not received the August financial report yet, and I don't remember last meeting if I went over July's report, but in that one, it estimated we would have $11,387 remaining at the end of the fiscal year. So hopefully I'll get a report for August soon. Okay, item 11C2, review of recent board staff activities. Because of the numbers in COVID and a couple of reports of positive tests in our building, we are back to only going in to do mail and licenses. So I hope things get better soon. Item 11C3, statistics, 860 current licensees. We have two active consent agreements. The next item is due June 21st, 2022, and that's just a probation termination date. We have three open investigations. And that is it for my... Was that Eric's dog?
Apparently.
Intimidating guard dog.
Yes. Yes. The 20-pound Cujo.
All right, Mr. Chair, that's all for my section.
Okay. All right, number 12, we have called the public. Do we have any public online right now?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, this is Lori White. I do want to state that I was unable to fill out the request to speak form online.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you would like me to proceed, Ms. Whiteford, or...
Yes, go ahead. I was afraid that we would have a lot of people trying to talk at the same time. So we will consider this your request to speak.
Thank you. On behalf of the Arizona Athletic Trainers Association Government Affairs Committee, I would like to thank you for ushering the rules package through this, the procedures, and that the changes suggested will be solidified in rule. I would like to recognize the Executive Director, Ms. Whiteford, for all the hard work you put in regards to this process. The update to the rules solves a problem of the outdated standards. The rules will now reflect the educational competencies and extra training of athletic trainers to enable ATs to practice to the full extent of their training and education. I do want to state for the record that our president has messaged me and the Arizona Athletic Trainers Association has stated that they can absolutely provide best practices in education to address the concerns that some of the board members stated previously. So these changes will improve the practice of athletic training for all of the licensees, therefore all of our members of the state association, and we were happy to work together with you to accomplish this. And that's all I have to say is thank you very much.
Thank you, Lori. Any other public? Alrighty. Number 14, review, consideration, possible actions regarding position grade increase and salary adjustment for executive director. So based upon the information here, Karen, correct me if I'm wrong, but in order for us to discuss any part of this, we need to be in executive session.
Yes, to discuss personnel matters.
Right, okay. So I would move to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters as of 10:10 a.m.
This is Cheryl. I second.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, apologies. Just before you go in, I won't be a part of that unless you want me to. And just I wanted to remind the board members, if you're going to be voting on anything, you have to do that in open session. Yep. So you have to finish that. And then, you know, if you need anything else from me, just let me know and I can hop back on. But otherwise, I will hop off for now.
Thank you. So it has been moved and seconded to an executive session to discuss personnel matters as of 10:10 a.m. All those in favor?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Mark Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, we are in the executive session. Cheryl, let me know when you're ready.
Okay, would you repeat that, please, Mr. Chair?
We are out of executive session as of 10:21 a.m.
Thank you. Okay, I have admitted everyone into the open session again.
Who's left? Okay. All right, I would entertain a motion to... I would entertain a motion regarding the position grade increase and salary adjustment for the executive director.
This is Carol. I move the position grade increase and salary adjustment for the executive director as discussed in executive session.
This is Bart. I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the position grade increase and salary adjustment for the executive director. All those in favor?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
All right, hearing no oppositions, that motion has been approved. Number 15, future agenda items. Does anybody have anything on there?
Just for all time's sake, let's leave the open board member position.
Please, till this other individual can sign the loyalty oath. Anything else?
Mr. Chair, I would like to add something. This is Karen Whiteford for the recording. I believe I read something the other day about a new board training requirement. So I'll have to look into that.
Goody.
You mean the clear training I took 10 years ago doesn't count anymore?
Hey, anything else?
That's all I have.
All right, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Go, Cheryl.
I move that we adjourn.
I second.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting as of 10:23 a.m. All those in favor?
Eric Fries?
Aye.
Cheryl Ingram?
Aye.
Bart Peterson?
Aye.
Chuck Buffman?
Aye.
Hearing no oppositions, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.